Welcome to Turn the Page, the official podcast of the Syosset Public Library.
Hello, this is Jessica, and I am here with
Dr. Usma Syed,
and we are going to
turn the page.
Welcome to our podcast.
Thank you so much.
So I need to share again, this is one of my favorite types of podcasts to do because Dr. Syed and myself went to school together.
A long time ago.
Yes, yes.
Seems like yesterday, but...
It does. But it's great because when I do a podcast with somebody who I knew back then, it's always exciting to see, you know, our growth. So I don't believe that we've really seen each other since...
Not really, just in passing. I was so excited to have this opportunity to sit down and really connect and, I'm so excited to be here.
And the best thing is you are still so active in the Syosset community. And
Absolutely.
It's really been amazing, you know, from first seeing... You know, your name, you were running for school board and saying, I know her, and now she's Dr. Syed. You know, you've been doing so many great things. So,
Well, thank you so much. So, you know, both of us grew up in this town and in this district, and, you know, there's so much that this district has given us, and I felt very fortunate, so much so that I decided to settle in the area and put my kids through the same schools. And it's been an amazing experience. And, you know, I always wanted to give back to this community and give back to the district. And, you know, every year I found myself being more and more involved. And obviously being in the medical field, you know, your time is really limited, whether you're in medical school or residency, fellowship, there's always something that's, you know, pulling you away from family and from community. But, you know, then I started private practice about 7 years ago. I said, you know, I have to somehow create the time to do this because, you know, life still goes on. And there's so many things that I was passionate about that I wanted to bring to our community.
Yes, definitely. And it certainly shows. It really does. So you were here today. Would you like to talk a little bit about what you were your lecture today?
Yeah, absolutely. So I gave a medical lecture today to the community about vaccine-preventable diseases in the elderly population and in travelers. So I'm actually an adult infectious disease physician, and basically what that entails is I see patients both in hospitals and in the office setting, and you know I'm part of a partner at South Shore Infectious Disease. Disease and Travel Medicine Consultants. And, you know, we primarily go to three hospitals in various locations in Long Island, Good Sam, St. Catharines, and St. Joseph's. And we have two offices, one at Bayshore and one recently that I opened in Syosset. Again, a big
Welcome
passion.
Home.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. So, you know, we see a myriad of diseases and infections that we treat, and people get very nervous oftentimes when they hear infectious diseases. So I try to sort of, soften that a little bit and let them know that, you know, that's an umbrella term. I do see a lot of things. We are at the forefront, you know, with Ebola and all these things that were happening a few years ago, we're at the front of the line, but we also manage simple, you know, pneumonias and skin infections and UTIs. And, you know, so just so people know the spectrum, I take care of a lot of travelers, whether they're before their travel, counsel them, make sure they have the adequate vaccinations for wherever they're going. And then after they come back, if they are ill with any type of exotic diseases, you know, we treat bacterial infections, viral infections, parasitic infections, everything. So I basically wanted to give the community a little bit of overview on that and let them know about all the vaccine preventable illnesses that are there, especially as our population ages. I know a lot
Right.
of people have questions about a lot of these vaccines.
Yeah, I think it's good to really just connect on a one-on-one level about vaccinations and about infectious diseases, because obviously there's a lot of misinformation
Yeah.
about everything out there,
Yeah,
and it's
absolutely.
Good.
Yeah, I mean, so our focus as physicians is preventative medicine, and, you know, we want to try to keep people healthy. And, you know, as the population is aging, we are seeing more and more different types of illnesses and medical conditions. And, you know, there's new drugs coming down the pipeline every day to keep, you know, people's medical conditions, whether it be autoimmune or rheumatologic or whatever it might be, under control so that people can lead a normal, healthy life. But these all these heavy duty medications are entail suppressing their immune system. So we are seeing different types of infections become more prominent and prevalent. And something that we deal with a lot is antibiotic-resistant bacteria because of all of the overuse of antibiotics over many years that, you know, are only treatable with certain classes of intravenous antibiotics. So those are things that I deal with specifically. We have infusion centers where we're able to keep people out of the hospital and treat them, you know, at the comfort of their own home. And we have nursing care that provides everything. So a little bit of different, you know, take on things.
That's very interesting. And I had been on antibiotics a lot as a child. I had problems with chronic bronchitis, and I felt like I was on antibiotics constantly, and all I would have to do is cough into the phone and my doctor would be like, oh yeah, antibiotics. Right. But with my children, you know, they could be coughing for a while and the doctors are very reluctant to give it to them.
Yep. It's very interesting because you see it firsthand, the change in the spectrum.
Yes.
You know, because unfortunately antibiotic use and abuse was so prevalent in our childhood and even generations before that, then now we've run into this problem where we have highly resistant bacteria where we cannot treat these infections with simple, you know, oral antibiotics, and we have to resort to intravenous. And, you know, it's a burden on people.
That actually happened to my son recently. Aww. Yeah, not fun, but he's fine now.
Good. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, but it is interesting because, you know, who knew back then?
Right. Exactly.
So aside from this, you have begun a charity.
So, yes, I'm glad you're bringing that up. I'm actually very excited about my latest venture. Actually, it's a big project that I've been working on. You know, as a Syosset alumna, I feel very connected to the school district. I feel very connected. My kids are, like I said, in the schools currently. But I just, you know, I have so much. Every time I walk down those halls, you know, whether it be the elementary school or the middle school or the high school.
I get it. I was in the high school the other day for something. And it was so strange because, you know, when you're in high school and, you know, I don't know, I'm sure it's the same now, but like high school in the 90s, we're like, oh, high school. But, you know, I go back and I'm like, aw.
It's such a good feeling, you know. You just have like walking down memory lane. You have nostalgia, and
you do.
You know, so you just feel. I just feel like so connected with the student body, and so one of my passions has been to really develop a program to really augment the experience that the students are having. So one of the things that, you know, although our education is, you know, top notch, blue ribbon schools, I mean, I am where I am today because of the education I received in Syosset. But I feel like just in general, not just specific to Syosset, but in general, the education system in the U.S., it's a little challenging on our high school students because by 11th grade, they have to decide what career they're going to go into because they're starting their, you know, doing college planning. They're doing SATs, they're figuring out where they're going to go, what they're going to major in. And how can a, you know, 16-year-old, 17-year-old, you know, decide that when all they've had is, you know, classroom experience and, you know, basically the common courses? How could they possibly decide?
That's true.
So, you know, I was fortunate where I knew from a very young age that I wanted to pursue medicine, but not everybody's that way. A majority of the people, I would say, are not that way. So you end up basically going into college undecided, which is fine because that's what college is supposed to be about, experiencing everything. Mm-hmm. But I think things have changed so much even from our time, you know, our generation to now, where the cost of college tuition is just skyrocketing.
It's crazy.
It's, you know, I don't know how people afford colleges. And unfortunately, people are coming out with tremendous amount of debt. How did they enter the workforce with this amount of debt? It's just not conducive to young professionals. And that's the problem we're seeing, actually, even in our area, where it's so difficult for young people to invest and buy homes in Syosset.
That's true.
So the thought that I had was that how do we prepare our students? How do we give them real world experiences and exposures so that they can see what it really entails? What is, you know, the classroom environment of, you know, accounting? How does that look like in the real world? Is that something that I'm going to like, or is that something that I'm going to hate? You know, until you're in that day-to-day experience, you never know what you're going to love or what you're going to hate, because, you know, as you know, textbook does not equal into real world.
No, it does not.
So my goal was to create this mentorship program. So I actually established this program, and I incorporated it, and it's a nonprofit organization called Align Us. It's established in New York State as an incorporation. And basically, it's focused on career development for high school students. And the way that the program is built is that we are going to have mentors primarily from our area. The pilot, you know, of this program and the launch is going to be December 3rd. We're actually right here in the library. We're having a big informational session.
I hope to attend.
You better be there. So, you know, basically the way that the program runs is, you know, we're going to have mentors from our district primarily or grads from SIOSIT who are going to be represented in various fields. And then the students will rank their choices, you know, which fields do they want to have some exposure in. And, you know, from January, the start date is going to be mid-January after the holidays. They'll initially have a little brief informational session with their mentor in that career path where they'll talk about how they ended up in that career field and, you know, what led them there and, you know, their paths and what their routines look like. And then after that, they'll have pretty much a 3-month time frame to complete 20 hours of observership in that field. So I wanted to keep it extremely flexible to both parties, mentors and mentees, because we know that the mentors that are volunteering, they're very busy. And, you know, I don't want to make it constrictive to them because mm-hmm. it's amazing that they're volunteering and they want to pay it forward. That's the whole notion of all of this. And similarly, I want to make it very good for the students and something that's obtainable and doable for them because we know how busy the high school students are, even more so now than when we were in high school. I mean, they have their academics.
It's crazy. It really is very different.
It's insane what they mm-hmm. have on their, you know, yeah. their plates. You know, they yeah. have their extracurriculars, they have their sports, they're competing in this and that. You know, their schedules are booked. So I didn't make it so constrictive that they had to participate Monday through Wednesday on X amount of hours. No. Once they're assigned to their mentor and the mentee will decide what days, what hours work mutually for them. They could show up for an hour one week on a random day, or they could show up, you know, if somebody has Saturday hours or weekend hours, they could show up for 2-3 hours. They could do a longer bulk of time. Say if there's a half day at the high school, you know, they could spend more hours that day. But they basically have a 3-month, like basically I created it as a semester module. Mm-hmm. So they have a 3-month time frame to complete those 20 hours. And the reason I picked 20 hours was I was trying to really figure out what's the substantial amount of time for a student to really gain exposure, get invaluable information from a mentor, and to really see what the day-to-day inner workings of that field are. Because let's face it, 1 day or 2 days is not a representation of what that career is like.
No, not at all.
Especially on those days where, you know, either party could be having a bad day or yes. an off day for whatever yeah. reason, you know, whether it be family, social, you know, you don't want somebody to leave with a bad impression.
It's true. I mean, you know, because usually with most things there is, you know, I guess a honeymoon orientation period, and then there are the days when you're in it.
Exactly.
And sometimes the days when you're in it are wonderful, and right. sometimes you just don't know.
Exactly. So that's why, you know, I came up with that time frame. Mm-hmm. And once they complete, you know, the 20 hours, they are basically going to get a certificate of completion from Align Us. And what that's going to do is they are actually going to be eligible, because as this program keeps rolling, they're going to be eligible to, we want to eventually pair them up with paid summer internship programs. We're going to try to partner up with, you know, some larger Fortune 500 companies in Long Island, and all the assets that we have in our own backyard, and even in Manhattan, which is not mm-hmm. far from us, that students can easily get to in the summertime.
Yeah.
You know, we want to have these opportunities for them. So after they've completed the program, they will be, you know, then able to participate in that program. And eventually, my goal is to really set up some scholarship with this program as well, so that our senior students can really benefit from that, because, you know, we know the rising cost of college tuition. So, you know, I want to help them as much as I possibly can.
It's really just incredible to see, you know, you're such a community leader, and this is a wonderful, wonderful program.
Thank you so much.
So the launch date, would you say early January?
So our actual launch date is December 3rd.
It is actually on December 3rd.
So December 3rd, Monday, 7 p.m., we're having a session right here in the SIOSIT Public Library. And that day would be the best time for everybody who's interested to really attend to get the most amount of information about the programs. We're going to have as many of our mentors that can attend there as possible so that they can see them firsthand, interact with them.
Right.
We'll give you an overview of the program. And that's when we're going to be collecting all the applications. applications. I will likely have some applications available online, but again, it's going to be a rolling application.
Right, right.
And so it's going to be first come, first serve, but also somewhat of a lottery system. So if we have more than one person who's interested in one field and we say we only have one mentor in that field right now, then it's going to have to be a lottery system and then they'll be put on a wait list.
Okay. Thank you so much. Absolutely. This is very exciting.
I'm so excited too.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Okay. We are going to close this chapter of Turn the Page.
It's time to close this chapter of Turn the Page. Join us for the next episode.